Now, here's a question for you. Could you live your life without a mobile phone? A former aide to the Prime Minister, David Cameron, who is now a top technology businessman, refuses to own one. Steve Hilton stopped using his mobile phone more than 3 years ago, and he says he hasn't looked back. He says when a business partner suggested he get one, the idea of having a phone actually made him cry because it reminded him of a life of stress, a life of tension, and a life of anxiety. Is he right? Do you exist without a mobile phone? Or when you lose your phone, or indeed, I was speaking to a man this morning, actually, in the sports department who's without the current service of his mobile phone, and I think he feels like his right arm has been cut off. Do you get that feeling if your phone packs up, or indeed you lose it? 0-30-30-80-55-55, or maybe all those people checking their phones whenever you're in the bus or the train or out and about, really does your head in. Are we obsessed with our mobile? 0-30-30-80-55-55. Joined by John McCrillick and Ant Miller, and also the former Northern Ireland striker Billy Hamilton, who I know for years refused point blank to carry a mobile phone. The three of you are very, very welcome. So, Ant, are you obsessed with your mobile phone?
Do you know what? It's actually a vital organ for me. Without that phone, I cannot live.
It is that thing, isn't it? Like when you lose your phone, that you have so much, or you think you have so much in that phone that's part of your daily existence, feels like part of your body's been cut off.
Do you know, my completely evolves around the mobile phone. It's my office. I own a model academy and I run everything from the phone. I'm also a student. I use it for looking up cases and research and things. Of course, I also use it for phoning the Nolan show. The show couldn't even go on without my mobile phone. So, but no, jokes aside, it is central to my world and I have no idea how people survived without them before. John McCurrick, I mean, he was about with source, I'm sure he'll be able to tell us a bit more about what life was like pre-mobile phone, but I don't know what that was, and I don't want to know.
Simpler times, eh, John?
Well, in those days, of course, you have to leave messages. You actually had to write letters and things like that. It was quite
dreadful.
Boring.
You had to go to the post box, I know.
But the thing is, that there are negatives to it. Obviously, a mobile phone is a great help, and in emergencies and all sorts of things, keeping your business going.
Can you remember your first mobile phone, John? How early did you have a mobile?
No, I barely got one now. I got one, but I can't really switch it on. I really do have trouble. I want to go back to the real basic. I don't want all these flashing pictures and pressing all these kind of things and getting all the APPs and all that. I want a basic one that I can understand. I can't really switch mine on. I get the booby to do it. My wife, the booby, she sort of switches the thing on. And I never use it. I just answer some person rings me. And the number gets out, I sort of answer it. But there are a lot of negatives to it. Obviously, driving and people are holding mobile phones. It's illegal, but they do it, and that is awful. But nobody thinks about the pedestrians. People are wandering around so engrossed in their mobile phones. They cross roads and not even looking, not even thinking about anything else except their mobile phones. So there are dangers as well to the mobile phones. You couldn't do without it. Well, I can virtually do without it, and so, I'm still alive.
So how often do you use your phone, John?
Very, very rarely. Very rarely. I'll ring the booby and ask for a bit of help or to get some shopping in or something like that. There are places called shops. I don't go in them, of course. But there are places like that, and she can go and get some and get a bit of lobster in or a bit of bottle of champagne.
And this is strictly for phone calls. I mean, would you ever contemplate sending a text message, John?
I never sent a text message in my life.
Really?
Never, ever sent a text message in my life.
You ever received one?
Well, I don't know. But no, I don't think I have. I don't know. How does it work? I don't understand. I got one of the very old-fashioned phones anyway. It's not one of those great big clodhopper things you see in films.
But it's not one of these smartphones. Just a simple one with the 10 numbers and a screen, and that's about it.
I don't have all of that. And, of course, the trouble is now with these machines that if you do ring anybody occasionally, they know who you are when you're calling. So I'm always amazed to pick up the, oh, hello, John, how are you? I'm absolutely amazed by that. So it is, they are extraordinary, absolutely right. It's dinosaurs like me who are reluctant to use them. But they are essential, I agree with that. But I just wish people would be more considerate. We had a dinner party a few weeks ago, and a couple came along, about six of us here, and one of the women never stopped being on her phone. She whole time, I know I'm a boring host, and the conversation got very dull and monotonous. I was talking about how great and how wonderful I am, and she was a bit bored with all of this. But all the time she's clicking and looking at the thing, pressing the buttons, and, oh, sorry, it's wrong again. It was absolutely... There are times when you don't use your phone.
We could be in the whole new territory here, John. We could fill half an hour here maybe on mobile phone etiquette, 030 30 80 55 55. We're talking about this subject this morning, but a former aide of the Prime Minister who's not a top technology businessman, he refuses to own a mobile phone. So could you live without your mobile phone? Billy Hamilton, ex-Northern Ireland striker, you were dried kicking and screaming, were you, Billy, into the mobile phone generation?
I was. I wasn't really a fan of them, but I was handed one from my kids and told to keep it on hand in case of emergencies. I agree that they're a very good device for keeping track of your kids and things like that, but my three main bugbears about them are, John has alluded to one, is I think they're a danger when you're driving. They're definitely a distraction. The second thing is all these masts going up all over the place. I remember I used to live in Hollywood and I used to look over Belfast Lock, and I can see on Cave Hill all these mobile masts appearing. Now, who consulted me about that, who likes the environment and likes the countryside? It doesn't seem to me that they need any special planning permission to stick these unsightly masts up anywhere they want. The third thing I would say about them is, has there been enough medical evidence to say that they're safe? Who's to say in 10 years' time that they could be detrimental to your health? So it seems to me that they're a thing I will put up with but don't really like.
And of course, Billy, there are maybe other men listening to this up and down the country who for years were able to go for perhaps a half an hour or second half of a match somewhere or a pint somewhere without any fear of any of their wives or partners ever finding out perhaps where they were at that time. And then they were handed a mobile phone.
Yeah, it can almost be a tracking device, and sometimes you don't want to be tracked. But it just seems to me that they're overused.
You got on perfectly well, Billy, but in the days when you didn't have a mobile phone, it's not as if your life changed fundamentally whenever you got one, did it?
No, it didn't at all. You know, the impact on my life has been minimal with a mobile phone.
So you could quite happily go back to the days whenever you didn't have one?
I could easily go back to it.
Does Billy Hamilton ever send a text message?
I have to put my hand up and say I'm guilty of that. The only thing I use my mobile phone for, there's an app on it with it has a family.
You have apps on your phone, have you?
I've been taught how to use it.
Have you upgraded, have you?
But it's to do with my daughter is in a fantasy football league and work, and she wasn't doing too well, so she recruited her father's help. So I give her a few tips on the fantasy football league app.
Things must have been bad if she appointed you as the assistant manager, Billy.
Well, she's now sitting pretty at the top of her league.
Ah, you never lose it, eh? Could you live without your mobile phone? Margaret's in Belfast. Morning, Margaret.
Morning, Paul, and a happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you as well.
I just wanted to say, Joel, that I wouldn't have had a mobile phone only for I was at the B&Q one time. It was a lot of years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was up for during for a taxi to bring me back home again because we didn't have any phones in the B&Q itself.
Uh-huh.
There was a phone box across the way on Boucher Road, but it was broke. So I started panicking, how am I going to get home? And when I came back to the B&Q, there was a gentleman that just got out of the car and he says, are you waiting to get a taxi? And he says, do you want to use my phone? He says, you're more than welcome. So I let us use the phone. I gave him the money for it, wouldn't take it, but I still wouldn't take it. And I swore after that, I'm going to get a mobile phone. But not only for that, Joel, if a person's living on their own, especially an elderly person that needs a bit of company, contact with their friends, family, or whatever, or especially in emergency cases that you need to phone the doctor. Well, not that the doctors come out now, but, you know, like emergency things that you need to phone for an ambulance or whatever. That's the only reason why I have a phone. And you get younger ones nowadays, because I have a young nephew from Wales. He's not long away back home again there. And he's sitting watching the TV and doing text messages. And I says, what are you doing? He's doing texting. But so how can you do that when you're watching the TV? I can do it. But the only reason you say why I would have a mobile phone is for what I explained to you for. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there I've got one for exactly the same reason.
So, Margaret, would you ever venture into the world of texting yourself?
Sometimes I can text, sometimes I can't. And then if I can't text, I don't curse or swear, but I swear within myself.
You'd need to get one of those smartphones, Margaret. I could see you whizzing through all those apps and watching all those TV programs yourself on your phone.
My brother's on about to get me one. My sister got one. His son got him on for Christmas. It's very easy, and it's very easy. And I'm going, now, you're getting the temper up. I can't do it. I can't use it. And I would love to be able to use it, and that's because all this technology thing that's on the mind, as you say, you can watch a video thing on it, you can watch your friends on it from across the water, talk to them and see them on the screen for by that. That's brilliant. But, the school I went till in my days, I call a fella go backwards.
Margaret, if Billy Hamilton could get onto apps and all sorts of things, I'd say a couple of hours training, you'll be a phone whiz by the time they'll be finished with you.
Give me a couple of gargles of brandy with hot lemon or something in it, not maybe to bring me round and get my brains going.
I'll sort that. We'd sort out a training course, especially for you, Margaret, with fresh refreshments provided. Jan's in Ballygowan. Morning, Jan. Would we class you as a mobile phone expert, Jan, would we?
No, indeed you would not. I can tell you. I was against the phones very much, and I wouldn't be bothered with them at all. I used to take them off my family and one thing and another and hide them and all that. I couldn't be bothered looking at them. Press. And do you see now, I couldn't do without my phone. They kept on at me, you want to get a phone because it is great. Well, one day I took sick. I needed that phone really badly and I hadn't got it. But from that day onwards, my phone's always at my side. I don't like people who press and get on when they're sitting beside you or in your company or anything like that. But,
well, that's the thing we were talking about, sort of the mobile phone etiquette, Jan. You know, does that really irritate you, does it?
Oh, yes, I couldn't be bothered with it. And I personally don't like to see people sitting beside me press. Because I just think I would get up and take it off them, really.
Would you use the phone? Because Aunt Miller made the point about, you know, almost his life's in his phone. You know, it's his office, it's his diary, it's everything.
Well,
would you use your phone for more than just a simple phone call?
Yes. I use my phone for everything, but I can't send a text message or a fax or whatever you do. I don't do anything like that now, but my phone's always beside me, in my pocket. Wouldn't matter where I am, I have my phone right there beside me. Indeed, I have a thing for around my neck, and I just put it around my neck and put it into my cardigan or my blouse or whatever.
The other thing as well out of this, Jan, you know, one thing that's gone, I was going to talk to, we'll talk to John about this as well, I'm sure, at some point, because he'll remember this. The sort of days when you had your landline phone and you had your alphabetical phone book set beside your phone.
Yeah,
those other people who had a tremendous talent for memorising phone numbers. Nobody knows anybody's phone number anymore because it's basically just stored in your phone under a name and you just go to their name. Nobody knows anybody's number anymore. Some people, you speak to them, they don't know their own mobile number.
Yes, John, but I could tell you, I know my son's daughter's... people who I really need to know, I know their number off by heart in my head. And that's in the mobile phone. I don't have to look to see where their number is in the mobile phone, but I can just remember it and do it. Just, I don't have to go hoping through the phone to get their number or anything like that. I just memorize it all the time.
Robert's on the line. Thanks, Jan. Nice to speak to you up there in Ballygowan. Robert, the taxi driver, he's in Belfast as ever this morning. Morning, Robert. How are you?
Good morning, Joel. What about you?
I'm fading with 11 minutes to go, you see. That's what's
happening. No problem. Back in the day, everybody run the telephone boxes. And,
that's right.
The first mobile phone came into operation here was in 1985. It was Motorola, and it was a man called Moore. They were like cold brick. Now,
Arthur Daly had one in mind, or?
Oh, you're right. There's a great few Arthur Daly's knocking about here. You're not joking about that. Here, what was I going to say? People now, you know, don't want to communicate with each other now. You know, you go into bars, you go into restaurants, you know, people are sitting, texting, blah, blah. I remember hearing a thing one time, somebody saying, when they all go out for a meal, everybody sets their mobile phone on the table. And the first one to lift the mobile phone pays for the meal. And I think that's really good.
And there's some people, it's almost like a second nature thing now, where maybe you don't even realise you're doing it. But you've made a great point, Robert. I mean, he's right, John McCrurick, that almost the art of striking up a conversation for a generation has gone, because that thing that would have been so natural for people to do when they went out somewhere, the natural thing now to do is actually to lift the phone and bury your head in it.
And that's what people do, isn't it? And as you say, the conversation, joining and everything, that's virtually gone. But I do remember the old days, the phones, you didn't have numbers. The original thing, we lived in the West End of London, and we had an ambassador phone number, AMB, and then the four letters after that. And my mother was absolutely outraged when they changed the area code to Paddington. So instead of being ambassador, whatever it was, she was absolutely outraged that it was actually going on to Paddington. And also, speaking as a journalist, talking about phone boxes, by the way, does anyone use phone boxes? How long are they going to be, be maintained? But in the old days, you'd get a story and you had to get to a phone box. I remember Ascot, for instance, you know, there were very few phones there as a journalist. So you had to dash out, and there's a phone about a mile away, and the phone left-hand side of the road, grab that phone box and phone your story in. All those sort of things. Things are so much easier and so much better now. But you can harp back to the old days. But imagine you've got an ambassador. You're somebody in the centre of London, and they switch the area to Paddington. It is absolutely terrible what we used to happen.
Aunt Miller, when was the last time you used a phone box?
Well, exactly.
Actually, do you know what? Whenever I was younger, I used to get my friends to phone me at the phone box, and I would be there at a certain time to pick up the call. That's the God's honest truth. We had a phone in the house, but you didn't want your parents listening to you on the phone, you see? So the phone box at the end of the street, we used to go there. But they're just public toilets now, aren't they? People just use them as a facility. But lovely to hear Robert and Jan this morning. Nice to be reunited with them. Hashtag Radio Face.
Wow. Very, very good plug there, and well done.
Wasn't it?
Jim's in Ballyclare this morning. Morning, Jim. Do you look back with fondness to the days before mobile phones? Do you?
No. I'm a tech mad person. I went to Korean University to learn all about it, basically, MMA and media management, and we were taught to think 10 years ahead. So I know that there's other things going to happen in the next 10 years, but it's only a form of communication. The Indians, American Indians, use smoke signals. The Africans, they use bongo drums.
So all these changes that are coming, Jim, it's going to make us feel even worse if we lose our phone or if it doesn't work for us some morning.
Well, that's correct. Well, indeed. It will make us feel worse.
That's not good news, but, Jim, thanks. Go on ahead. Sorry, go on and finish up.
Communication is so, so important. So, so important. And the ease in which we can communicate is important as well.
Okay. Well, Jim, let's appreciate your call this morning. Thanks to John McCrurick and Aunt Miller, and to Billy Hamilton. Billy, good luck with the rest of the season in the Old Fantasy League. And mobile phones are here to stay.
Oh, I think they are. I just have to accept that they're dragging me eventually into the 21st century.
Kicking and screaming.
Kicking and screaming.
Okay. Nice to talk to you all this morning.